Can we rejoice? I said rejoice. I wanted to walk up to at least 7 persons and welcome them to service. It's good to have you in service. Amen. As we continue the series on recovering from the fall, one of the requirements for getting yourself free from the desire of acceptance is to express love. Express love. Sometimes one of the ways we exhale is to love people. Allowing ourselves to be loved and allowing people to love us and then showing love to people. That's one of the best gifts you can give to an orphan. Most times what an orphan needs is love. Most of those addictions and those deprivations, they are byproduct of isolation. When a man becomes so isolated, he goes into a cave and becomes addicted. Addicted with pornography, with games, and then with all of those addictions. The truth is this: one of the ways to deliver people from addiction is to flood their hearts with love. Because addicted people are lonely people. It's a byproduct of the fall. We'll come to that. Dealing with the crave for acceptance. Because you feel rejected, you don't want to be with people, you want to be alone. And the more you are alone, the more you give yourself to addictions. You'll see people, lonely people, they're always drinking, always gambling. They're just being addicted because they are finding acceptance, or they think that they are going to get acceptance in those things. Glory to God. So look at your neighbor, say, I love you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for service this morning? You are in service already. Glory to God. Amen. And so I welcome you to another season in God's word. This is the month of July. Amen. Let's go straight into the word of God. Can we lift up our right hand and declare that, Lord, I'm instructed. My heart is open to your word. My heart is open to your word. My heart is open to your word. In the name of Jesus, your word profits me. Are you praying? Lift your right hand and declare that the word of God profits me. I gain understanding by the teaching of the word of God. I gain understanding by the teaching of the word of God. The word of God becomes plain to my heart. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. The word of God is fruitful. The word of God is profiting to me. My heart is open to receive your word, O God. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We bless your name. We magnify your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now, by the grace of God, we are continuing our series on the renewed mind. We're going to be continuing the series, but we're going to be focusing on some direct aspects. So this morning, we're going to begin a discussion I've titled Renewing Your Mind from the Fear and Consciousness of Lack. Renewing your mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. Renewing your mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 13, sorry. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be reading verse 5 and 6, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Read from the NLT, please. Now let's read together. One, two, read. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You're not reading. Everybody wants to read. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Verse 6. So, loudly, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Father, thank you for your word. We understand that your word is the pathway to illumination. We understand that your word is the pathway to understanding. We receive your word with simplicity. We receive your word with honor. We receive your word with reverence. So we are asking that you will bless your word in our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are asking that the anointing that makes the teaching of your word simple, plain, and understandable will be released upon us, in the name of Jesus. And we are asking that the anointing that will allow us to understand your word will rest upon the heart of the hearers, in the mighty name of Jesus. We rebuke every spirit of misunderstanding, misconception, and ambiguity. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the religious spirit. We ask that your word will come with so much preeminence, with so much audacity, with so much utterance, that it will inspire your people. It will transform them. It will renew their mind. It will position them rightly, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask that, Lord, through the preaching of your word, let there be healings, let there be deliverance, let there be restoration. Let the hand of God be mighty upon every hearer. I give you glory in advance for great things, audacious things you will do by the teaching of your word. And at the end of it all, Jesus remain glorified and every saint will be edified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Renewing your mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. Perhaps some of you are joining the series for the first time. I will just do a brief recap. We have been able to establish prior to this time some of the side effects, some of the effects of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And then there were some implications, what we call side effects of these effects. And then we understand that each of these affected the mind of both believers and unbelievers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, and that was where we began to teach from verse 17 and 18. We are told that when man became estranged from God, the heart of man became darkened. Darkness came upon man. And as a result of that, man's mind was shut out from the knowledge of God. And because of that, he began to give himself to a number of corruptions and vanities. Glory to God. So we were able to establish in that series principles and power of the renewed mind. Please, if you don't have that series, you can pick it up from the media. It's going to bless your heart. Part 1 up till part 4. They will inspire a lot of things in you. So we established in that series, using scriptures, a few things. Number one, we were able to establish that the fall of man, which came as a result of the disobedience of Adam, created a disconnect between God and man. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. But the Bible says in that Genesis 2:7 that when God created man from the dust, he breathed into man and man became a living soul. So you must understand that though God is a spirit, he created man as a body to have the Spirit of God live in him. So man was created by God to be the carrier of the Spirit of God. So we saw in scriptures that man was made from the dust, his body. So that's why we are called human being. The word human being is from the word humus, man, soil. The word human simply means made from the soil. So you must understand that your real you is not your body. And that's why God said, dust you came from, dust you will return to. The two parts of you that are important, both to you and to God, is your spirit and your soul. So we establish that by your spirit, you relate or you connect with God. And by your soul or with your soul, you connect with yourself. So with your body now, you are able to relate with others. Glory to God. Because we don't see your soul, we don't see your spirit. But your body houses the two. So what you say is not coming from your body. What you say is coming from your what? Your soul. And your soul was designed by God to be influenced, to be controlled by its surrounding. So there are two things that surrounds your soul. Number one, the way God designed it, your soul was to be predominantly surrounded by who? The Spirit of God. Because man was created to be the habitation of God's Spirit. So with the Spirit of God in you, you are able to do what God wants. That's why Romans 12 verse 2 now says that we should not copy the behavior of the world, but rather we should what? Allow God to renew our mind so that we can do the will of God that is first what? That is first what? Good, two, pleasing, and three what? Perfect. So, if any man cannot do the will of God, it's because that man's soul has been what? Disconnected from God. So, when Adam sinned, what happened was that man became what? Disconnected from fellowship with God. And we saw the effect in Ephesians 4, verse 17 and 18. And then Genesis 6, verse 5. The mind of man became what? Corrupt. Two words you can use to explain what happened. Number one, the mind of man became, the heart of man became corrupt, and the heart of man took in vanities. So corruption and vanities were as a result of the disconnection. So we established that in the previous series. So this made the soul of man to become deprived and enslaved. Please take note of that. The moment the Spirit of God left the soul of man, or the left man, as it were, left man, man's own spirit died. And then the soul became enslaved. I get what I'm saying? It's just like when you are living in a house, and then the owner of the house is very nice and good. I mean, the owner of the house, very nice. He allows you people to stay. He don't stress you for rent and all of those. You notice that if something happens to that owner, and the house maybe is sold or given to another owner, if that owner is wicked, the tenants will begin to feel the impact of that wickedness. So the soul of man was designed to exist within the confine of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is a good spirit. So the moment God's Spirit left, the goodness of God, as it were, tend to have what? Left man's soul. So the soul became deprived, became enslaved, and then it became corrupt. It got into bondage. And that's what Romans 8 was telling us. That the whole creation, they are in what? They are in bondage. because your soul was designed to habit God's presence. No wonder David said, I was glad when they say, let us go to the house of the Lord. No wonder David said, in the presence of God, there is what? There is fullness of joy. The best of a man is the spirit of God in the heart of that man. Take a man away from God's spirit, the man malfunctions. Like I told you, take a seed or a plant from the soil, it dies. Take a fish from the water, it ceases to exist. Take a soul from the presence of God, it becomes what? Deprived. So all of the deprivation, the degradation, the molestation, and all the shuns, oppression, which other one? Depression, all those negative shuns, they are as a result of man's soul shunning God. Abby? Yes, now. When you take a man from God's presence, all of these happen. Isolations, depressions, damnation, frustration, condemnation, all them are traceable to the alienation of man's soul from the presence of God. That you who were once far away, as he what? Has he brought to himself. Romans 5 verse 1, Apostle Paul was speaking. He said, now we have peace with God. So when Adam sinned, that peace was what? Was lost. That peace was lost. So what left, what remained? Now waiting with the suffer now. Waiting remain after Adam ate that sweet fruit. Now waiting with the suffer now. So let's check some of the things that resulted from it. The disconnection brought darkness to man's heart. And from then, the mind of man became what? Shut out of knowledge of God and his ways. See, earth was designed to be habited by people under the influence of God. And that's why it appears as though the moment you remove Christ from the system, crisis results. No creator can create a system that can exist outside of him. Am I correct? You must understand this. The more mankind tries to do without God, the more earth will suffer corruption. Appreciate all the latest technologies that are coming, AI and all the rest, but the truth is this: we can't find peace when we remove God from the earth. Why? The soul of man is desperately wicked. So to deal with that wickedness, one thing must be introduced into the system. Everybody say the Spirit of God. Let's check Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 17 and 18 that the mind of man became darkened, and then the mind of man was full. Their minds are full of darkness. Look at it. The darker a man's heart is, the more he runs away from God. You see that? And then what happens? Verse 7, verse 19. You now see, or they have no sense. So they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice they, mankind. So it was because the Spirit of God left Adam. That was why Cain killed Abel. That's the effect. The result of shutting God out of our mind were three. Number one, fear and consciousness of lack. That's the first thing that happened. The soul of man was created in an atmosphere where everything was ready. It says, when God had finished creating everything, he created man and planted him in comfort, in prosperity, in abundance. Let me tell you this. The first thing the soul of man tasted after it came alive was comfort. Good life. Let me tell you this. LG is not the originator of good life. God. You see, that desire to have a good life that is locking on your inside, it was put there by God. Listen, man was not created in deprivation. Everything was ready. The Bible says in Genesis 2 that even before man was created, there was a mist, M-I-S-T, that was watering the garden. God was the innovator of springing water. If you go to the north, there's something called artificial irrigation. You put pipe. For those of you that are soccer fans, if they go on halftime break, if you are watching Premier League, not talking about Inba Football Stadium, talking about places like Old Trafford, Theatre of Dreams, glory to God. If you check them during halftime, you will see they put pipes. So they will press the button and water will just be watering the grasses. In Eden, the Bible says a mist will flow out and water the garden because there was no rain. Reason why there was no rain, scripture took note of it, because no man to till the ground. Look up. God made the ground good so that man's life will be full of goodness. So that's why when you are born again and you desire good things, it is the will of God. Let me tell you something. Don't think that your desire to live a good life is from unbelieving nature. No. No. If you can be sincere, if I can be sincere to you, wealth and riches are the heritage of people that carry God's spirit. The life of a believer, as designed by God, is a life of fully funded welfare. It is not the will of God for you to beg by design. All this struggle where with the experience now, because say Eve, not be Adamo, Eve, woman, Eve, go chop, put all of us for this problem. I put us for this problem. All the women, they are looking at me somehow. It's not serpents. You know, Apostle Paul said, Adam was not deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. But in the real sense, if we really want to do the blame, it's not even the woman we should blame. It's not even the serpents. It's Adam. Because he was there. Check it now. When the devil was doing all the doings, Adam was there. Media, I don't want to show you. The man was there. And then you are blaming woman. The man was there. No, Paul said it. Said Adam was not deceived. The deception, listen, Adam voluntarily ate of it. That's why when a man does not take responsibility, either in his home or in his work, chaos becomes the order of the day. That's why any system that empowers the woman to be the breadwinner, it's not a good system. No, that's the truth. Adam didn't take responsibility. He didn't. He didn't take responsibility. He was there. See it now. And eight, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. NLT. The man was there. You see it? Who was with her? Yeah. So stop blaming Satan or blaming Eve. That's why a man must never be given to blame. The first symbol of manhood is responsibility. Ladies, don't marry a man that cannot assume responsibility. A man shouldn't go to meeting with your family or his family and say, it was my wife. No, that man is not man enough. We are the one. Listen, women are to be shielded by men. That's just the truth. So if Adam has played his role very well, Eve wouldn't have eaten the fruit. So that's why Apostle Paul now said, the man was not deceived. That's why God had mercy on the woman. That's why you see women in life, they naturally they get favor. Man, you will sweat and sweat and sweat and sweat. Work, beginning of the month, the end. Sweat, sweat, sweat. One lady will just enter office, your guy will just give the girl salary. The salary you are supposed to get, the girl will just be going, say, take this one for transport. And you will be begging her, I'm sorry, oh sorry, it's small. And when you count it, that's the salary you are working for since the beginning of the month. Adam, no try. No, don't worry, that one is by the wayside though. That's not the main message. It's just by the wayside. No, that's why women get favor. Favor. Can be working in a company as a man. Just be working. And then one day, the man will just carry car and give to one girl like this. You have been trekking all these years for it. He has not bought you keke. Devil, eh? Me and Adam will settle that matter. Glory to God. So fear and cautiousness of lack was the first challenge that we inherited. And that's what we're focusing on this morning. Two, crave and desire for acceptance. Please, write this down. These are the three problems mankind is facing. As a believer, if you can renew your mind along these three, you will live as though you are in heaven already. These are the three effects of the fall. Are we writing them down? Number one, fear and consciousness of lack. Because the moment the Spirit of God left man, man couldn't remain in Eden. And one of the things God said, he said, you're going to sweat to get the ground to produce things for you. And then the next thing we saw was God chasing them out of the garden. So God chased them out of the place of comfort and good life. So from that time, man started seeking for good life by his own self. That's where self-centeredness now came. Because he must now seek for his good life. Now, good life was no longer be a commonwealth. Was no longer going to be a commonwealth. In Eden, it was a commonwealth. The moment you come to Eden, everything becomes ready. But because they left Eden, everyone have to start sweating for his own welfare. So it resulted in selfishness. Number two, crave and desire for acceptance. That's the second effect of the fall. Number three, I was able to rephrase it better. Pride and contention mindset. Or let's say pride and contention mindset, which brings about strife. Pride and contention mindset. A mindset of pride and contention, which now produced strife and division. So as we proceed, we're going to be looking at it. Lack. A fear or consciousness of lack. Two, crave and desire for acceptance. And then three, pride and contention mindset. That's the mindset of comparison, mindset of trying to do things because people are doing it, mindset of self-actualization. I made it. Like Nebuchadnezzar, oh great Babylon, that my hands are built. Because of the fall, every man began to derive pleasure and dignity from his own inventions. Are you following me? That's as a result of the fall. It was not like that in Eden. No, there's something I've not told you. In Eden, Eve was not under Adam. Oh, if you don't know that. In Eden, Eve was not under Adam. In Eden, Eve was a support system to Adam. But it was the fall that reverted it. In that Genesis 3. It was God that changed it and now said, okay, you woman, from now you will be under the man. Before the fall, it was not like that. So that's why this desire you see in women for women library, equality with the man. No, the truth is this, it's not a wrong desire. It's just that we are going about it what? Wrongly. You see, if you understand the way man was designed in the fall, before the fall, okay, for example, in heaven there will be no husband and wife. No, like Paul was saying in the book of Galatians, he said, there are neither male nor female. So we'll get to heaven, she will not be under me. We are all going to be joint heirs with Christ. So now, Eve, now you cause the problem. You all loafer. So there where you did. So don't try to be. Oh, calm down. All those things, contention, strive to be on top, strive, all those. Oh, great Babylon, my hands are built. And God said, you will see. Now go to the beast. Oh. It was like that for a period of time. The Bible says in the book of Daniel 4, he said, when he now came to his senses. Did you see that? It is the dealings of God that brings us to our sense of humility. No man is born humble naturally. No, humility is not a natural virtue. If you see someone that is humble, something has happened to his life. Scripture says about Jesus, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. So no natural man is humble. Say Pekin humble. He humble night they hit him, Mama Bele. You just say on your head. Inside your tongue. The mother will now say, calm down now. He will start. He's not humble from belly. So no human humble. If he humble, he go calm. If he humble, say, no, stress the woman. You just go for delivery. He will just quietly come out. But even that one, he will not come out though. One of the nurses was sharing with me day before yesterday that a woman came to deliver in the hospital. They were twins. The first one came well. The second one, the doctor has to use hand. He was coming with hand and leg the same time. That's why sometimes when people talk about humans, if God has not worked on a person, please don't expect anything from that person. This thing came by the fall. We tested it. We were carved in iniquity. So saying that, that guy is good, though, he's nice, he will take care of me. No, don't say that. Check his life. Has he been worked on? Because if he has not been worked on, when the sheaves are down, he will go back to take the fruit again. And he will reveal to you that he's a better Adam than the last Adam. The first Adam. So the truth is this. A lot of things that happens in our world today, we trace them to the fall. Contention. You see, when you read Genesis gives us a panoramic view of the side effect of the fall. Look at Genesis 11, for example. They just sat down one day. The same thing that happened to Cain and Abel. They just sat down one day. And the next thing they said, let us build a tower. And make a name for ourselves. You know, when we were in primary school, those books we used to read, they say, so that when drop a sand, they'll quickly go to heaven. He run. That was not the reason. children, they get many things that they used to, they do cock and boo. You see, this lying spirit, most times now from our cock and boo story, they start to. And mother just look at us and tell us, say, there's something called a willy willy. I'll be wanting. One spirit will just appear. Eh? Tooth fairy, I'll be, you know, they have many names. We call them fairy tales. Now their light is that. Because they use and they scam us. When we they keep foul. Because they know what make you talk. They just tell you, say, if you talk, hair will be coming out. You will remove more hair. Just tell us to keep quiet. Say, hair will be coming out. So when I became an adult, one day I was killing foul, I kept quiet. The hair was coming out. I said, but I'm not talking. The hair is coming out. I just saw the air coming up. The light give us when we small. Amen. Goto, let us build for ourselves a tower and make a name. You see that? Let us make a name. So look up. The desire to make a name for self came as a result of the fall. Is there? All these are there. Three. Crest them. Go and renew your mind on all three. They were resolved. So that's why if you are relating with anyone and you notice any of these three tendencies, please don't get angry at the person. Pray that the person's mind be what? Be renewed. So that's why Paul was now telling us in Romans 12 verse 2 that let us renew. Let's not copy the behavior. So all these are the results of the fall. So, however, now this is where I'm going. Since we have become born again by the Spirit of God in us, we still have these tendencies in us. But that's the truth. Salvation did not deliver us from these tendencies. Is that okay? Salvation delivered us from the bondage and consequences of these tendencies. Please follow me, believers. And that's why you can be born again for 20 years and still want to make a name for yourself. It doesn't change it. What salvation did was to deliver you from the bondage of the self-life and deliver you from the consequences, which is ultimately hell. But then, it is the transformation, the renewal of your mind that will now empower you to live above that kind of life. So coming to church, sharing the grace, praying in tongues, it's not going to change you from the effect of the Adamic nature. What will change you from the effect of the Adamic nature is submitting your soul to God for purification. Let's check it. Ephesians 4, let's read from verse 20 down. It said, but you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. He said, but that's not what you learned about Christ. He said, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned. So this is what it means. It is the learning of the truth that delivers you from those three effects. So you now need to learn the truth. So what we call renewal of mind is learning the truth. And that's one of the truths I'm going to be teaching you very shortly. There are truths you must learn. So in John, chapter 8, Jesus now said in verse 32, he said, you shall know the truth. Are you seeing it now? So the truth will now make you free from lack consciousness. So what this means is that now that you are born again, you now need to learn certain truths that will make you no longer conscious of lack. Verse 22, Ephesians 4. He said, since you have heard, verse 22. He said, throw off. Did you see it now? Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust. Wait, stay here. By lust and deception. Now, this is what it means. Believers, listen to me. You can be born again if you don't find a sound Bible-believing church where you are taught the truth. You can be living like an unbeliever. No, that's the truth. Because that former life is corrupted by what? By lust and deception. So if you go to a place that promotes lust, you still believe in your former life. Now, if you go to a place that promotes deception, they are lying to you. They are lying to you. But they are lying to you. As long as what you have been exposed to is not the truth, your mind can never be renewed. And you can never enjoy the joy of salvation. The true liberty that Christ brought. He was speaking to the Galatians church. He said, "Who have bewitched you? You started in the spirit. You are now being made manifest in the flesh." He now told them in chapter 4, verse 1. He now said, "You should now stand by the liberty where which you have been made whole. And no longer entangle yourself." So look up. The way of not entangling yourself is to give yourself to the next thing the Bible will now speak. Verse 23. He now said, 23 and 24. Instead, 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts. 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. It's a responsibility now. You have to put it on. Now, the process of putting on your new nature is made possible by the process of what? Renewing your mind. Let me give you an example. For example, by your former nature, fear of lack, your account is going down. It's going down. And then you don't even have, you have spent your salary already, but your account is going down. Now, if your mind has not been renewed, what will happen is that fear will come. Now, once that fear comes, if your mind has not been renewed, the next thing you are thinking of, maybe you're thinking of, for the one that is exposed to stealing, is thinking of where to steal from. Either you want to inflate figure in your office or who to scam. That's where scamming came from. Is that okay? Came from the fall. So you are thinking of, which mugu afi cash now. You're just, that's how robbers behave. You watch that movie now, when they wanted to go and steal. They said, "Let's steal this one and retire. After we go and steal this one, we'll not steal again." It's a big stealing. $20 million. You remember? Italian job. Sat down, they thought about it. The reason is because they don't want to meet lack in their entire life. But now, if you are born again, you now have to look for the word of God. So when you are in that state, you now have to put on, for example, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, if you've not gotten a revelation that the Lord is your shepherd, you will kill to get money. You will sleep with men to get money. You will scam people to get money. Because the truth is this: everyone needs the good life. You know, I've established it already. So the difference in our believing, what makes us believers and unbelievers, I wrote this down, let me explain to you. What makes you a believer or an unbeliever? It's not because the Spirit of God in your life is in your life. Check the word believer. What makes you a believer is because you hold on and put on the word of God. That's what makes you a believer. So when all my colleagues are saying, if you don't plan for your life, when you hold like this, you go to beggo. You know, that's one of the mentality that is pushing people to amass wealth and do a lot of things. But if you have the word of God in you, you remember when the Lord said, "Blessed is he whose heart is what?" He said, "He shall keep in perfect peace whose heart stayed on him." So what makes you a believer is not just having the Spirit of God in your life. It's not just having or hearing the word of God. Like James was saying, he said, it's not the hearers that are blessed. So what makes you a believer is that number one, you receive the word of God. You now retain the word of God. And you now live your life by the word. That's what makes you believe. But the process to arrive at that state is not automatic. Are you with me? So that's what was saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So what he's saying, that's a process of renewing your mind. He's saying, take the word of God and superimpose it on those worldly thoughts. That crave to have much, that crave to prepare for, to store. Are you with me? So let's look at, so the renewal of mind has to be, so the process that will bring you into the state where you can be fully controlled by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Now, two things must control your life. Write it down. Two things must control my life as a believer. Two things must control my life as a believer. Number one is the Spirit of God. Number two is the Word of God. So what makes you a believer is the Spirit of God controlling your life and the Word of God controlling your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. He said, quickly, let's put it up. Galatians 5, verse 25. You now see what Paul now spoke. He now said, since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit leading. Look up. A believer shouldn't be controlled only by the Spirit, but he must also be what? Controlled by the Word, led by the Word. Because this is the reason. Let me tell you the reason. The reason is because if the Word of God has not renewed your mind, you will use the Spirit of God to build or make a name for yourself. Let me explain something to you. There are people that have the Spirit of God in them, but they don't have the Word of God. So what they now do is to use the Spirit of God to achieve what they want for themselves. So they don't live their life according to the Word of God. They live according to their feelings. Because if you study the Spirit, soul, and body, I'm currently on a volume 2 of Spiritual Man by Watchmani. Watchmani was talking about the intuition. Now, if you check the intuition works like your intellect. So every of the sense organs that your soul has, the Spirit of God also what? Has them. Are you with me? So if the Word of God is not in your life, it will not rightly separate the two. So you can even be lying in the name of the Spirit. For example, there are some men of God that wants money from you. They can come to you and tell you, I saw very well. Prophets with address, not a Sunday school teacher. I saw the dream. In that dream, your husband was coming. He was coming. And then all of a sudden, one man that has plenty man just came, took him away. See, I started running after him. And I woke up. You see, what the Lord is telling me is that I should proceed on a 3-day fast for you. But you know, to get to that mountain, you need to pay around 150 naira. 50,000 naira, 50k for each day, so that my speed can be without limit. Prophet, 150k is not a small money. It's not a big money. Just let desperate people do desperate things. Have you been in a state before you need something desperately? You can follow any address because your mind is in darkness. Now, the truth is this, you might have the Spirit of God in your life. But because you don't know the Word of God, where can you show me that Jesus collected money from someone to fast and pray? Now, why you know that Jesus never collected money from anyone to fast and pray was because you have read the scriptures. And the scriptures have renewed your mind in that direction. So over my dead body till Jesus will return, I will never pay anybody to fast for me. Not because they can't get me results, but because it's not in the Word of God. So renewal of mind saying, I'm going to impose the Word of God into the standard of my life, even though it's not convenient. How can you come and tell me that it's cockroach and war gecko that Satan is using it to monitor me? Me. War gecko will even get small eye. If you even say na ego, I go believe you. War gecko, AI, press and I don't die. Just do it like this. You now say cockroach. Even get eyeself. Even though say I don't know Bible, some things no follow. Are you hearing me? Some things no follow. Cockroach. When you just touch one of his leg, like even carries go just kind of leg will come out. I say they monitor my destiny. But now you can't know if your mind is not renewed. Because when my mind became renewed, I saw in Colossians that I am hid in Christ. Ahido. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has installed for them that love him, but he has revealed them to us by his spirit. I told you that the CIA department of God is his spirit. And it's his spirit that knows all things. And he reveals them to those who he wants. So that's why I've told people, say sometimes we are the ones that even exposes ourselves to these false prophets. We are the ones that give them information they don't have. They will use the one they can see. There is something called hypnotism, and there is something called psychological interjection. They will look at you, they can tell. I was reading about a false prophet lately. He said something. He said before he gets to a church, he said social media is there. He would take some names of the members, go to their social media profile. Some people, they do real research. Oh. Be there. While you are praying, get to seek apart. God, give me utterance. Some people are not praying. Oh. They are following your social media platform. They don't follow you. They use all the information when they see for your social media. That's what the man was saying. He said because, you know, everybody, they live their life on Facebook and on Twitter and on WhatsApp status. So on status, he has seen that your birthday was last week. But he has not met you, so he will look at you and tell you, your birthday was so day. Did I know you before? But social media know you. One of the easiest way to go into fame is this current time. You can become famous all of a sudden. Is it May Soma? It was in it. Has become a popular name now. Just by inflating a jam score. And stood boldly and said, it's my score. Yesterday, admitted to the dad that she had that picking. Take. Give me the English now. Take falsify. Edit the jam score. And printed it out. 19 years. The four strong. Man's mind, forget. People believe that. If actually even one scholarship. Deception is powerful only if you want to be deceived. But the jam spokesman came, gave verifiable evidences. Emotional people were just lambasting him. Hey, blah, blah, blah. See, listen, you must understand something, that in life there is the place of reality and the place of feeling. These two are different. There are feelings. I told you that the operations of the spirit of God and the mind of man, they are similar. So if you don't know the word of God, you can't separate it. Paul said, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It can pierce. It is only the word of God that can separate bone and marrow, spirit and soul. So some things, when you see them, if you are very, very intellectual and you're also very spiritual, you know this thing is not true. How can someone just come? Don't talk. You don't believe. Preach, speak on, prophesy. Calm down. Don't get bamboozled. There are realities in scriptures. Do you know one thing about realities most times is that it takes time to come out? So when the young man said, that they saw, they have their results, portal, everything was intact, nothing did it. People were saying, it's a lie, blah, blah, blah. That's what INEC did. The young lady stood before the whole panel. The father was there and the commissioners and the representative. He said, I did it myself. He said, I falsified the result. He said, all those SMS messages, I used another line to send them to my phone. She started apologizing. I think this morning or yesterday, the father had come out to give a public apology. You know that the father was screaming that my pikin no book. Settle the argument. Now look up. If she had not spoken, everybody would have believed her. But Jam never believed her. Jam said, I read the report of the Jam spokesman. It was direct. He said, that was not her score. And she admitted, she said, that score that the Jam spokesman said, that's her risk score. She falsified it. Why? Because now, if we just left it and everybody went to sleep, everybody would just say, her best student in Jam. But people verified. The renewal of mind process brings about verification. You check in scripture. The Bible speaking in the book of Acts of Apostles 17, I think verse 11. It said, these ones, they were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. In that when they heard what the apostles preached, they will now go back to verify if these things were true. If these things were true. One of the reasons the Spirit of God came to your life is to verify life from truth. But hear me, you can't be able to do that if you don't submit your heart to the renewal of mind. Are you with me? So we renew our minds in three directions. Number one, let me give you the architecture of renewal of mind. The system, the architecture, you said it in series review that I didn't use the word, but maybe I should use it now. For those of you that don't know the meaning, check your dictionary. The algorithm, or architecture, renewed mind. Don't mind my English, I will explain. Is such that we focus on what both the Spirit and the Word of God says about, one, fear or consciousness of what? Consciousness of lack. Two, crave and desires for acceptance, pride, and contention, which leads to strife and division. So let me explain what I mean here quickly. What we are saying is that if you are going to be renewing your mind, it's very simple. First, you have to check what the Spirit and the Word of God says about, one, fear or consciousness of lack. What does the Word of God says about being conscious of lack? A lot of scriptures. So that's the first one I read, the most profound among them, Hebrews 13 verse 5. He said, don't love money. That's the starting point. You know, Jesus already spoke that in Matthew chapter 6 verse 23 and 24. He said, don't serve two masters. He said, don't love money. Now look up. It means one of the directions, one of the algorithms of a renewed mind is that I will not worry about tomorrow. If you don't instill that into your life, you can't defeat the fear of lack. That's how it works. So the reason why it looks like Satan is dealing with you, even though you are born again, you are still scared. You're scared. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm going to wear. The base things of life are bothering. So it means that if you're going to experience a renewed mind, number one, you must defeat by the Spirit and by the Word. You have to impose the Word. For example, let me give you how the Spirit works. It's a system, the Spirit and the Word. For example, the Spirit will help you to pray. But while you are praying, the word you have hid in your heart will not begin to come. The spirit will only bring remembrance of the word you have heard, you have learned, you have been told to you. So the difference between those whose hearts are closed and those whose hearts are opened is that the word of God is having effect in your life. So while I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to eat. And then I began to pray, or I began to give thanks. Thank you. Father, thank you for provisions. As you begin to give thanks, the Spirit cannot bring the word. The Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm not going to want. Or it cannot remind you of another word. I will never leave you. You must understand that if you cannot bring up the word of God against your fears, your mind has not been renewed. So that's the process. It's a walk. He said, that's why I tell you. Matthew 6, verse 24. He said, no one can serve two masters. So these are scriptures. So look up. If you want to deal with the fear of lack, raise your head. There are two understandings you must have. Number one, you must have a revelation of God as a caregiving father. That's one of the revelations you must have. Because the cure or the antidote of fear is faith. And the direction of faith is not a name and claim agenda. The dimension of faith is faith towards God. What do we call it? Absolute dependence on Him. And man, when we're talking about depending on God, we are depending on His Spirit and His Word. Let's check that. Hebrews 13, verse 6. He said, quickly, what did he say there? He said, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Now, verse 5. He said, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. See what God said. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Look up. If you get a revelation of this statement, you will never worry about tomorrow. You will never. I always, whenever I get to talk about trusting God, I just remember one of those movies I watched some time ago, Van Damme, Cloud Van Damme. When they kidnapped the daughter. If you see the way the daughter was making joke with those guys, the kidnappers, he said, my daddy will come. He said, my daddy will come. He said, I know my... They're now asking her, who is your daddy? He said, don't worry, my daddy will come. She was not scared because she knew there is no shadow you will light out. He said, there is no wall he won't to get you. So when the dad came, she knew the dad was around. So their eye met and they blinked eyes. She blinked her eye. She smiled. My dad is here. She was rescued. Majority of the times, when the ships become down, our faith also goes down with it. We don't know God can come and save us. He said, that's it. God said, I will never abandon you. So he now said in the next verse, because of the revelation of this statement, we can now say, the Lord is what? My helper. Deto sotoli kataya. No wonder David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The truth is this, you will not know how powerful conviction is until you face the valley of the shadow of death. That's where you know. Every faith that is not tested can never be trusted. It is good to know God in the good days, but it is better to stand on his word on the bad days. The validity that your good days were properly devoted to learning God is how you use his word to face your bad days. Because look up, good and bad days will always come. We'll pick up from here on Thursday. Let's be on our feet. Good and bad days will always come. So renewal of mind is saying, I will hold on to your word. I will hold on to your word. Let me tell you this. One of the first ways to defeat the fear and consciousness of lack, look up everybody, is to check for the promises. Check for the promises. That's why you must have a walk with God. Because the credibility of every promise, the credibility of every promise is hinged on the integrity of the promisor. Am I correct? For example, it is not enough for a wealthy man to promise you wealth. It's not enough. Talk is cheap. But if a wealthy man promises you wealth, what you want to check are his track records. Has he made promises and fulfilled them before? So when you check it, that's why Bible says faith comes by hearing. Most of you want the Old Testament to be removed, but no, I'm not going to remove it, because the Old Testament conveyed me into the immutability of God's perfectionness. The Old Testament showed me that God's word is law. Kadusiata. They were fighting a war. They were fighting. The sun was going down. They were losing. The man of God stood. The word of God came to him and he said, God, let this sun stand still. Scripture said the sun stood still until they defeated all the enemies. Listen, that God that did it is the one that calls you father. Meaning, if you don't have a track record of what he has done, you can't have faith in him. That's why people don't trust God. They don't know him. They come to church, they sing and dance, but they don't know God. Because if truly you know God, one of your first response to him will be faith. I know that I can make it. I know that I can stay. No matter what. Just one thing. That's what changes the narrative. My life. That's what settles it. No, that's what settles it. It is not the storms. It is not the rain. It is not the challenges. I know things are hard. That one is the reality. That one is the fact. But the reality of it is this. I will never leave you. The reason, believers, the reason God took the children of Israel through a journey that should have been 40 days to become 40 years was to sterilize their faith, was to validate their trust in him. You can't go far. The reason why Christianity looks like a heavy journey to most of you is that your faith in God is weak. Your eyes, one is up, one is down. One is looking at your salary, one is looking to God. A popular preacher said, you can't look, have eye. One is looking up and looking down. Try it. Is it possible? That's where the struggle is coming from. The writer of Hebrews said, so we will say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You can only defeat fear by the assurance of faith. But a study of faith made me realize that faith has an object. The object of faith is not your bank account. The object of faith is in the immutability of his word, which says, God is not a man that he should lie. See, I got revelation of that statement. I can trust God for it. Close your eyes and talk to me. We are beginning a journey this month of July. Absolute dependence. Renewing our mind in the direction. Renewing our mind in the direction of fear or consciousness of lack. It's a relationship with God. I want you, wherever you are right now, to place your hands on your chest. Before we come into the base of this teaching, just place your hands on your chest and declare, though I walk through the valley low, I fear no. So turn it into a declaration. I will not be afraid. I will not allow lack to become my consciousness.
My heart will trust in you.
Though I walk
through the valleys, Lord,
I'll feel no evil.
My daughter steals my soul. My heart will trust in you.
That your heart will begin to learn how to depend on God. You will no longer depend on your money. You will no longer depend on yourself. There are some of you, your dependence is on your uncles, your aunties. They are your first point of call.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust in you. You see, it's a place you can arrive where all your hope will be on Him. So I pray for you, you receive great grace to trust Him more. As we go into the series, the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. You take deeper roots into His purpose and plans. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.